You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. It is summer and a time for seasonal fruits, so who doesn't love fresh-grown summer produce, right? Well, today we take a trip as producer Guy Hand jet boats into Idaho's River of No Return Wilderness with a team searching for remote and abandoned pioneer-era apple orchards. They're hoping to save those rare apple varieties from extinction.
We are at the end of the road.
That's Sadie Barrett, standing at a boat dock where road ends and wilderness begins, deep in the Salmon River Canyon of central Idaho. Barrett is on a mission.
We are getting ready to jet down to a historic orchard, and we're going to hopefully experience some wonderful food.
By wonderful food, she means apples. Barrett grew up in Salmon, Idaho. Moving back home after a 10-year absence, she noticed something was missing.
I used to glean fruit from a lot of the old fruit trees, and I noticed that a lot of them had disappeared. They'd either been built over or just had perished because they hadn't been irrigated.
That's why Barrett is blasting down the main fork of the Salmon River via jet boat to save threatened apple varieties. As we skip off rapids, Barrett points to one abandoned orchard after another. Pioneers planted many of those trees over 100 years ago in what is now the Frank Church River of No Return Wilderness. As we jet by, we can see that many of those trees are dead or dying. After a 12-mile race into the wilderness, we pulled ashore at an orchard of 50 or more trees.
So where are we?
Lance Bar.
Barrett and friend Scott Grasser grab buckets, tools, and head toward a forest of apple trees planted by Frank Lance around 1925.
This little trail here.
We soon find a broken tree, its largest limbs snapped off like twigs.
Here's one that's obviously been
broken down by a bear.
Yeah, visited by a bear. It definitely needs some TLC. No fruit on it either.
There's fresh bear scat everywhere, and claw marks on nearly every trunk. But we soon find apples, plenty of apples.
Oh, look at this. Isn't that an interesting color?
Yeah.
Mmm. Woo. And all the flavors right up front. Super tart, super powerful. It's got a bite.
Barrett and project coordinator Candace Burns call their project the Idaho Heritage Tree Project. Today, Barrett is finding and carefully cataloging apple varieties worth saving.
Because we can't ID with gene testing, we just have to photograph, identify the trees, taste the apples, make notes of what the flavors are, decide if we want to graft that based on our own palates.
Then tag those trees and come back next spring to take cuttings and graft those cuttings onto new rootstock. Thus, Barrett and Burns hope to preserve some of the fruit tree diversity brought to Idaho by early settlers.
Mmm, that is one kind that we're looking for.
Oh my God.
Soon, we're finding apple varieties we'd never seen before.
Isn't that amazing?
Super sugary.
Yeah, that's a great apple.
Barrett and Grasser wander the orchard, meticulously tasting, tagging, and taking notes. On the way back to the jet boat, with a bucket of exceptional apples in hand, Barrett is already thinking about expanding the Idaho Heritage Tree Project.
Yeah, I think this is a fun spot to come and do the research, look around, see what's down here. But there are so many trees in people's backyards and in neighborhoods all over Idaho that are just as important as the trees down here that hopefully we can capture at least a small percentage, get them going on new rootstocks so we can have them in backyards and
preserve them for the future.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to find out more about the Idaho Heritage Tree Project and how you could participate, go to salmonvalley.org for a link. For Edible Idaho and Boise State Public Radio, I'm Guy Hand.
So not all fruits are created equal. While we are very familiar with some, like apples and strawberries, others, like the pawpaw, just don't get the recognition they deserve. Now you're probably sitting there going, what's a pawpaw? If you know what a pawpaw is, good for you, because I certainly didn't until this. The pawpaw is America's largest native fruit. It was once loved by George Washington, but now it's nearly forgotten, and it survives today largely thanks to backyard gardeners. So thank you to all of you who grow the pawpaw. Producer Guy Hand is visiting one of those gardeners in this installment of Edible Idaho.
I've come to Jan Husky's Meridian, Idaho backyard to learn about a little-known fruit, the pawpaw.
Oh, I'm just a common home gardener that happened to run into a friend that knew about pawpaws, and he says, Jan, you've got 5 acres. You ought to plant a lot of things, and one of the things you ought to plant is pawpaws.
I hadn't heard of pawpaws until I spotted Huskies on display at the Boise Co-op one fall. This friend of his had grown the fruit back in Alabama, but Husky, an Idaho native, had never tried one.
I said, what's pawpaws? I never heard of that. He says, well, it's this Native American fruit that grows in America. He later told me about the Indians moved it around in the shady areas of the river valleys.
His friend was right. The pawpaw is the largest edible fruit native to America. It's an understory plant of the eastern United States that was cultivated by Native tribes, loved by George Washington, and frequently depended on by the Lewis and Clark expedition.
Anyway, would you like to try one? Or
Yeah.
We'll just break it open here. And what I do is I just squeeze it a little bit, and I don't bother with spoons. I just, pretty sweet taste.
Yeah, it looks kind of like a yellow custard almost.
Yeah, it is.
It really is good.
The taste is tropical, like a mix of mango and banana. But because this stubby green fruit is fragile and a little finicky, it's been all but ignored by commercial agriculture. Even in Ohio, where it's the state's official fruit, the pawpaw is hard to find.
America's kind of forgotten about this fruit. It's a little bit hard to grow if you don't know how to grow it, but with little instruction and reading on it, I think anybody could grow these pawpaws.
It's one of many indigenous but nearly forgotten American fruits, like persimmon, gooseberry, or mulberry, that survive in large part because of backyard gardeners like Husky.
This is the pawpaw tree ahead of us. It's one of the first ones I planted. I think it's named Sunflower, and it's probably about 13 years old.
Even though Idaho isn't the pawpaw's natural habitat, I can see how Husky has created a kind of eastern hardwood forest right in his own southern Idaho backyard.
How many trees do you have?
I have about a dozen. Some put out pretty good-sized fruit, and some are kind of on the small side.
Wow, this one has really big fruit compared to the others.
I've had up to about a half pound on some of these when they first started.
Although he sells pawpaws locally, Husky's interests aren't commercial. He's kind of a backyard botanist who simply seems to like watching things grow, right down to the insects that pollinate his pawpaw blossoms.
They're fertilized by flies and mosquitoes, not honeybees, which is interesting.
The flowers produce the faint odor of rotting flesh to attract insects. Some growers even resort to hanging raw chicken in their pawpaws to ensure pollination. Husky usually prefers tending his trees by hand.
I got a little artist brush, and I got some pollen off one and took over to the other blossom and pollinated it. And I had a little fun doing that. But
no chicken wings in the trees.
I think I hung a gopher one time that I trapped.
Picking up the pawpaws, put them in the basket.
Pawpaws, when available, are usually ripe between late September and mid-October. For Edible Idaho and Boise State Public Radio, I'm Guy Hand.
I want to thank all of you for joining us today on Idaho Matters. Happy Wednesday. It's Tuesday. It feels like a Wednesday, though, doesn't it? My producer, Samantha Wright, and Richard Copeland, program associate, Hannah Gardoski. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Thanks so much for joining us on this Tuesday. You can hear today's program and previous interviews at our website, boisestatepublicradio.org. You can also find us on a podcast. Thanks again. Have a great rest of your day, and we will see you back here tomorrow.